Postcards from Beyond. Written and narrated by Paul Harris. The Art of Navigation. For thousands of years, sailors have been able to cross the huge oceans successfully by measuring the position of celestial bodies such as the sun, the moon, planets and stars against the visible horizon, and are thus able to calculate their location and navigate their journey accurately. To have guiding principles, to have some fixed point from which to draw measurements, means that we are far less likely to go astray and can reach our chosen destination safely. The Buddha's way to enlightenment begins with right view and right thought as the first two steps. The choices we make in life, the direction we take, and the kinds of actions of body, speech, and mind that we perform are all informed and motivated by the kinds of views that we hold. We all have views about life. To make sense of the world, everyone needs guiding principles. Without creating such definitions, life remains an amorphous mass and is impossible to navigate at all. We would be well and truly lost. One of the criticisms levelled at this modern secular age is that, with the gradual replacement of religion with science as the primary influence on popular attitudes, we are in danger of losing many of the core human values and guiding principles that have helped to glue society together. In the news media, we regularly hear about people whose moral compass appears to have gone haywire, and it can appear as though society is filled to the brim with greedy bankers, corrupt politicians, debauched stars, and boorish, disaffected youths. Whilst there are, unquestionably, many critical ethical issues that face modern society, is it really the case that we are being swept away by a dismal tide of interminable moral decline? Isn't it the case that "it wasn't like that in my day" is heard in every generation, looking with something of a shudder at the behaviour of the next? The Buddha maintained that ignorance and craving are the indispensable conditions necessary for anybody to be born into our world. And these core defilements are, therefore, already firmly established in the personality of everyone. This being the case, is it not inevitable that every generation will have its fair share of trouble and lessons to learn? Some argue that in this era of globalization, we now need to establish a set of universal values, a moral and ethical framework upon which all are in agreement, irrespective of creed or culture. Is that possible, however, given quite how complex and varied human beings and their belief systems are? Right and wrong are to be determined by whom? Could a liberal materialist and a religious fundamentalist ever be expected to agree upon the same definitions? It seems unlikely. In Buddhism, wrong is always defined by that which leads to the production and increase in suffering for either oneself or others or both. Right is always defined by that which leads to the reduction and elimination of suffering for either oneself or others or both. But these are not just theoretical notions of right and wrong. As my teacher Alan has often said, Buddhism isn't something you just think about, it's something you do. The point is that our understanding of right and wrong is informed directly from our own life experience of what genuinely leads to woe, sorrow, and lamentation, and what genuinely leads to peace, happiness and fulfillment. The point is that our understanding of right and wrong is informed directly from our own life experience of what genuinely leads to woe, sorrow, and lamentation, and what genuinely leads to peace, happiness, and fulfillment. So there is no forceful imposition of values on others in Buddhism. There can be no inquisition. The Buddha gives us the guiding principles and the tools we need to navigate our way, but we are all individually the captain of our own ship and personally responsible for our moral compass. It's up to us. The Buddha taught how life works using two distinct but interweaving philosophies. He taught a conventional or mundane wisdom relating to the everyday world, showing us how to navigate our way around life. He also taught ultimate or supramundane wisdom, sometimes referred to as his higher teaching. It is this aspect of what he taught that leads to the complete elimination of craving, hatred, and ignorance, and to the direct realization of Nibbana, the beyond. The relationship between these two teachings can be understood using an analogy that the Buddha employed. Gotama likened samsara to a great expanse of water with two banks either side. The near shore represents ignorance, with countless beings running to and fro, blindly trying to find their way out of suffering. The far shore represents the understanding of the way life really is, the hallmark of the enlightened mind. The Buddha likened his teaching to a raft that takes us from the near shore of ignorance to the far shore of understanding. The primary purpose of his teaching is enlightenment, and that is the province of his higher teaching. The subsidiary purpose was to help ensure that we have as pleasant a voyage as possible, and that is the purpose of his mundane teaching. Whether the crossing is rough or smooth is actually dependent on our own behaviour. Indeed, without moderating our behaviour, it is impossible to complete the voyage. The Buddha gave a simple 5-point plan for ensuring relative happiness in life now and in the future. In Buddhism, we call this the 5 points of mundane right view. And they are right in the sense of accurately reflecting the rules of life, and because they result in a reduction in suffering for those who adopt them and act in accordance with them. They are: actions have results, generosity benefits the giver, there are mother and father, there are spontaneously arisen beings, there are teachers who know about these things and who can show us the way. These 5 points suffuse and permeate the whole of the Buddha's teaching, and they will be integral components in any discussion of life as seen from the Buddhist perspective, including the contents of this book. That being the case, we will limit ourselves to a brief overview of each. Actions have results. The conditions we experience now are the fruits of our own previous actions. Selfish actions lead to the arising of painful feelings and unwanted perceptions now and in the future, while relatively unselfish, altruistic actions produce pleasant results both now and in the future. This is karma, and its law cannot be broken. It is a fact of mundane experience in the same way that the law of gravity is. Just as what goes up must come down, so any action taken with a view of self must generate a result that is experienced by the doer. There is a result of giving. This reinforces the principle of kamma, with the added emphasis of presenting people with a simple method to find out whether the law of action and result is real. Generosity applies not just to money. Food, shelter, encouragement, or generating loving thoughts are all forms of giving that produce positive results. Being generous also reduces self-concern, lessens attachments, and increases our faith in life, all of which are essential supports when it comes to practicing the higher teaching. There are mother and father. This view connects the two preceding points with the two that are to follow, and is pivotal in helping us form a comprehensive view of how the world works. Most of us, at times, will have had difficult relations with our parents, especially during the period of the adolescent rebellion. Viewed, however, in the wider context of the cyclical nature of existence and the workings of kamma, what becomes clear is that it is our own past actions that have caused us to be born with these people as our parents. The early life conditioning, fashioned by our upbringing, moreover, is an integral part of our journey from ignorance to understanding. The circumstances we are born into, therefore, are entirely right for us. To maintain a grudge towards our parents about how we were raised is to misunderstand the workings of the world and will seriously impair our own development. Although we may disagree with their opinions or behaviour, they still deserve our respect. They have done so much for us, in bearing the pain of bringing us into the world and making enormous sacrifices to give us a start in life. Understanding the crucial link that our parents provide, treating them or their memory in an honourable way, and developing an even-minded attitude towards our early life conditioning are all aspects of what this point of mundane wisdom means. There are spontaneously arisen beings. Many people these days hold a belief that there is only one life, and that the death of the physical body is annihilation, the absolute end of conscious experiencing. Although such a belief is often taken to be a key signifier of a modern, rational, post-religious outlook, the idea is actually as old as the hills. In the discourses contained in the Pali Canon, the Buddha is often engaged in discussing the full spectrum of possible beliefs around what happens at death, including the one life theory. The Buddha knew from his own experience that when someone dies from the human realm, they spontaneously reappear in another form of existence. Where a being reappears is dependent on their kamma, essentially how they lived their lives, how they acted in body, speech, and mind. The idea here is that we have all experienced countless lives before, and will also continue to experience countless lives into the future. There are teachers who know about these things. The 5 points of mundane right view are rounded off with a strong reminder that, as with everything in life, there are others with a greater knowledge and understanding than us, who are able and willing to guide us. Using the analogy of attempting to cross the sea of suffering on a raft, there are those that have already reached the far shore, who can help others complete the journey. After all, if we already knew the way and did not need telling, we would already be there. An open, generous, and humble attitude towards receiving spiritual guidance is crucial to successfully navigating one's way. These 5 points of mundane right view were not arbitrarily plucked from thin air by the Buddha. He expounded them because they represent the most accurate reflection of the way the world works. Adopting these views opens up a radically different context for understanding life and our journey through it. Accepting that we are personally responsible for the circumstances that we find ourselves in puts us in control of our lives. Our destiny really is in our own hands. If you want to know what the future has in store for you, observe your behavior now. If you wish to ensure a happy future, then you must take responsibility for the ethical quality of your behavior. The more selfish the behavior, the more painful life becomes, whereas the more relatively unselfish the behavior, the more pleasant life becomes. Establishing mundane right view is the essential first step in developing the threefold training in sila, samadhi and panya, ethics, mental development and wisdom. The nature of the training is such that we need to be able to sit by ourselves quietly in order to look deeply into the heart of reality. To do this, we need to be comfortable in our own skin. We need to have a relatively healthy view of ourselves, our past, our future, and the world around us. If we are caught up in an overly turbulent lifestyle, or are at odds with the way life is, then this is just not possible. This becomes even more crucial as we begin to delve into the Buddha's higher teaching, where our most basic assumptions and beliefs about life are brought under intense scrutiny and challenged through vipassana. Enlightenment, the discovery of the true nature of life, is freedom from the need to hold any beliefs whatsoever. Concluding his analogy of the raft, the Buddha said that upon reaching the far shore, the final act was to leave the raft and walk on without it. For there to be true freedom, there can be no clinging, not even to the very teaching that brought you to the greatest understanding of all. In the end, all views have the nature to divide, even right ones. And wherever there is division, there is conflict and sorrow. The Buddha taught the way to enlightenment purely out of compassion for his fellow beings. It was the ultimate act of disinterested love. He himself wanted nothing from it. His teaching, he said, was for crossing over, not retaining.